Khalashing for Khalas? Want to bri or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bagati for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. This is High FM. You're listening to Adrian Bagati from Kashering Your Life. This is the Essen Fressen show, where we're all about the food. And my guest today is, probably my favorite guest so far. And that is somebody you know from TV, from radio. For those of you who are Survivor fans, she was on a couple of years ago. Issy Dingo, Scandal, The Coconuts, Binnenlandish. And then there was one who, and I'm, like I've just said, I know I'm going to mess this one up. Felicity Reekin, please say the word. What? It was an Afrikaans one. Tiens Drivers or something like that. Okay, I'll look it up in a minute because I can't remember. Tisendera or something like that.
Ek het baie gedoen. Trapsuikies was one.
Trapsuikies.
The comedian.
Yes. See, I've got the English word stuck in my head, but not the Afrikaans one. Okay, and then for those of us who listen to the radio and who are radio hoppers, you've heard her in the morning on 947. You've heard her on the scenic drive on Jacaranda. And now you're listening to her on High FM. So welcome, 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 Felicity Reekin.
Thank you so much. It is such an honor being on the show. And thank you very much to everybody listening to Chai at the moment for, joining into this conversation.
Yes, I'm very excited. So I connected with you on Instagram when you bought your Thermomix, my favorite kitchen tool.
I
was actually speaking to someone the other day. She wants to sell hers because she never uses it. I'm like,
what? I'll buy it.
mine's overworked.
Yeah, exactly.
In fact, it's gotten so bad that I don't think I remember how to cut an onion anymore. So how did you get into cooking? Like, how long have you loved cooking, or did you hate cooking, or what?
Do you know what? I've always loved cooking. I actually remember from a very young age. So I grew up with my guardian in London. So during the weeks I was with my guardian in London, and then on the weekends I'd go home to my mom.
Yeah.
And I remember as a young child, so I was there from about the age of 8. My guardian would make the most delicious food. But then all the scraps I was allowed to kind of play with. So I would always make the dog's food, and it was always some gourmet meal. In my head. So it was always, you know, the scraps and the potato peels and the carrots, and I'd slice them up into things, and then I would ask if I could put in like stock and make them a thing, and it'd always be this concoction, these poor dogs. But I was always, there was always a huge freedom allowed in the kitchen. My mom is also a fantastic cook.
Ooh, nice.
And so growing up with her as well, and eating her food. And you know, my mother is one of those mothers, as I'm sure many of the listeners know, one of those mothers who you kind of give, you know, half a loaf of bread and a thing of Marmite, and they whip up something amazing. And so kind of watching my mom being able to create masterpieces really from nothing, was also a huge, I suppose, inspiration to me. Also, I like food. I'm not the size I am because I don't like food.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. So that is one of my things, specifically my business and the show, is budgeting. And kosher food is very expensive. So I look at ways to stretch and to cook what's in your cupboard. So you've got to know what's in the pantry and come up with meals from that. And I've got a big family, and they're big eaters. So I've got to look at food like that's enough to feed 7 or 8 every night.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah.
it depends on who's home. so that can be quite an interesting thing. So your mother with the Marmite. Okay. First of all, I've got Marmite in my cupboard. It may be going off. I must check the expiry date. I think I've used it twice, and I use it in stew as a flavoring instead of stock.
Absolutely. That's one of the best things actually for Marmite, is to be used as a stock, because you don't need to use that much of it.
Yes.
But also, you know, Marmite baked into a dough. So okay. A little bit of Marmite just to add a kind of a salty umami kind ofness,
yeah,
is something just to kind of, I suppose, zhuzh something up. Funny enough, Marmite mixed with butter. So a little bit of Marmite. I'm not saying, you know, jump into quantities, but a little bit of Marmite mixed with butter put over a mealie. Yum.
Oh, okay. I think I may have to try that.
Yeah, delicious. So, you know, there's, I think people tend to, very often, I think you either get stuck in a rut when it comes to cooking.
Mm.
And it just takes a little bit of experimentation in the kitchen, which yes, can be a very frightening thing. And yes, you are going to make mistakes, but okay, it's not the end of the world.
Okay.
And
yeah, I agree with you. Absolutely. So what's your biggest mistake?
Look, I remember as a teenager, living back with my mom, my mom used to work at a convent in the South, and Woolies would come and they'd bring their stuff as basically expiring on the day to the convent, yes, for the nuns. So my mom would take, bring some of that food home. And I'll never forget, my mom brought home prawns the one day, and I love prawns. I was sitting about 14 or so, 14 now, 13, 14. And my mother brought home prawns, and I was like, I'm going to make something delicious with these prawns. And for some bizarre reason, I would like to call it maybe Satan. Because Satan said to me, do you know what prawns need? Prawns need a chocolate sauce. I want to experiment, you know, something exotic with these prawns, because prawns are an exotic kind of thing. And so I made this chocolate sauce and I put them all over the, I didn't use it as a sauce on the side. I put it all over the prawns. And then sat down and I was like, oh, this is going to be so good. And I put it in my mouth, and for a split second there, I think I died.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
I think I died, and I thought to myself, why? Why did you ruin this quite a large quantity of prawns that my mother had so generously said, absolutely. She thought, you know, my daughter's not that dumb. Of course she'll use like lemon and garlic. She's not going to use something ridiculous like a chocolate sauce. Yeah, it was bad. It was really, don't do that. Don't do that.
Chocolate and fish, no. Chocolate and meat, yes.
Yes, but just
fish and chicken. There's no chocolate. Sorry.
You know what the other thing is? Maybe the issue here is not so much actually that it was the chocolate and the fish. The issue was that I didn't separate the two. So if I'd made the prawn and made the chocolate on the side and gone, oh, this doesn't actually work, I could have still eaten the prawns and eaten the chocolate sauce.
Yes.
But because I'd gone, let me just wrench it all. And you know what I mean? So even if it was a mistake, sometimes maybe just separate the two and go, let me taste this. Let me taste this. Oh no, that doesn't actually go. And then you don't end up messing completely.
Well, okay. I bet you've never messed that one up again.
No, never crossed my mind ever again. Thank goodness.
So yeah, no, that is one of the main things that you know, one of the experimenting. So, the followers know I work with what's called a meal plan template, and I have like a set thing to challenge myself. So Monday is vegan, Tuesday is vegetarian, Wednesday is mince, Thursday and Friday I alternate between meat and chicken. And you can go mad that way. And that was my big stuff up, was something called Varishnas. They're a Polish dumpling type thing. We couldn't eat them.
Like pierogies, but
No, Varishkas. Yes, kind of like pierogies, but like it's more of a boiled one. It's not. We couldn't eat them. It was like stodge. So we had scrambled eggs that night. So that's why I just love cooking. I love experimenting, and I came late to cooking, I must admit. I was never allowed in the kitchen. My nanny would not get me in the kitchen. Just wouldn't, you know, even as an adult, when I was feeling sick, I would go home to my mother because Audrey was there. And I knew Audrey would look after me. It didn't matter how old I got. Audrey retired when my parents moved into a retirement village. So I only start cooking when I moved out of home after varsity, because nursing, we had to live at Rays for the first year. So I lived in Rays for 3 years, and then I moved into, my grandmother passed away, and I moved into her apartment while my mom and my aunt and my uncle were packing it all up. And right. That's when I had to learn to cook.
But how old were you?
21.
Wow. She'd never cooked before?
Hardly, no. You know, I could make eggs and toast and, you know, boil spaghetti. You know, basics. I taught myself, so when I was about 21, I had to learn how to do this. Probably, maybe a bit younger. I'm thinking about it. 89, 90. So it was an interesting journey.
I'm sure.
And it's been so long. My mom said to my brother something about me cooking something, and he turned around and he said, but she can't cook. My mother said, when was the last time you tasted her food? And it's been a while. So yes, the only thing I can't do. How are you with baking?
I'm not a fan, huh?
Okay.
I'm not a fan. My biggest issue with baking is that baking is exceptionally strict.
Yes.
So baking, it's strict until you know the rules, and then you can play around in it. But yeah. I don't even want to learn the rules. I'm like, don't empower me to only use a teaspoon of baking powder. I will use as many baking powders as I want to. And then I mess it up.
Yes.
Don't tell me what temperature the oven must be. I will feel it with my, you know, the ancestors will talk to me and tell me it must be this temperature. You can't tell me what to do. So I'm not disciplined enough to enjoy baking. And I think there's a certain sense of discipline that you need to have within you to actually enjoy baking. Luckily, my oldest daughter has that. She's a phenomenal baker. But also she's quite patient. And I think baking has also got a patience thing. And I'm not patient.
No. Okay. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to continue talking to Felicity Reekin. You're listening to the Essence Freshness Show on Chai FM. I'm Adrian Bogarty.
Chalashing for chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? Stay tuned to Chai FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bogarty for Essence Freshness Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m. where it's all about the food.
Hello, and we're back. And you're listening to the Essence Freshness Show. And my guest today is Felicity Reekin, radio personality, actor, and home cook. And we love sharing things. So we've just been talking about baking. So the only thing I'm really good at baking is things with yeast. I can do breads. I can do anything with yeast. Do not ask me to make a cake. Do not ask me to make biscuits.
You are so lucky. You see, I mean, I have baked bread. Don't get me wrong. I have baked bread. And I suppose I do enjoy the end product when the bread is baked and it's hot and it's out the oven and I'm putting butter on it.
Yeah.
But the rest of it, I'm like, ach, no, man.
So,
and I also, because I like to cook, I don't like to buy store-bought dough.
Yes.
I know that sounds ridiculous, but I'm like,
no, I agree.
If I'm going to make a bread, then I might as well make it from scratch rather than buy store-bought bread. But you don't want to make it from scratch. Can you make up your mind?
So yes, that is, I think that's one of the challenges with bean culture is it's very rare to find the dough already made for you. Pick and pay occasionally will have it, but not often.
Can I ask you, what is kosher dough?
So it's,
I mean, I know what kosher is, but what is kosher dough?
So the thing with kosher is, first of all, you've got to sift the flour very carefully, not through a normal sieve. It's through a very fine, like almost like a silk, to make sure that there are no insects. You've got to check your eggs to make sure there's no blood spots in there. So all those things are an important person, put like an important part of it. So that's why some of the pick and pay bakeries actually have a kosher supervisor called a mashgiach who's on site, and that's his job basically. He checks all the eggs, he checks all the flour, you know, all that kind of
thing.
So that is, you know, something to do. It also depends on how
far. I've learned something.
Yeah. So we do that. So you can't just go into a shop and buy, and that's where I've had to learn. And I saw that you make sauces.
I do. Yeah, so full saucy sauces. I mean, I suppose I would call all my sauces kosher because there is no animal products in it. Yeah. And I use like sunflower oil and olive oil. So I make kosher sauces. And when I'm making my sauces, I'm not generally making anything else. So I'm not, you know, baking a meatloaf or whatever it is. I'm focusing on making my sauces. So particularly because I do understand that a lot of my customers are either Muslim or they are Jewish, and I don't have a certificate, but I want to be able to confidently give them the product with, and go, this wasn't touched by something that is not allowed, so to speak.
So that is the thing. Look, going kosher is a whole process, and you wouldn't be allowed to use your own kitchen for it.
Yes.
You have to use a production kitchen. And, you know, there is a process. I mean, so what a lot of people, the Jewish people are doing, a lot of Jewish ladies who cook, are cooking in their kosher kitchens, and they say, it's a kosher kitchen, but I'm not registered. And people must decide from themselves. So I was watching a blog that I love called, and where I've learned to meal prep. So I, on Sunday, prep for the week as much as I can. So that when I come home from work, it's just either in the oven or it's like a quick finish. And one of her things is she can do 5 dinners in like an hour. But the easy thing for her is she buys store-bought sauces. Now, they aren't all available for us.
Absolutely.
So I often have to make mine. So mine's 2 hours for 5 meals.
Yes.
But I love the sauces. I was looking at the flavors that you have and all that. And there's some amazing flavors. I know my family, my son loves spicy stuff.
I'm going to have to send you a bottle of my full spicy. You know what? Full saucy sauce, which is a wonderful name, which is,
came out. So and it's so you.
Yeah. full saucy sauce was and has always been a passion project.
Okay.
In the sense of, because I like to cook, I often, when I was on 947, I would come home because I was on breakfast. So I'd come home and my kids would be at school. And so I would kind of get dinner started. I'd have the time to get dinner started and I could take my time.
Yes.
And then I'm the worst budgeter in the world.
Okay.
I love food. And so if I go to the shop and there is a bag of chilies, I'm like, I want the whole bag. I don't want 3 or 4. I want the entire bag of chilies. I want the box of red tomatoes. I love the way that food looks and smells and it just, it fills me with, it literally is my happy place and I think very much my love language. So I would come home and I would make sauces and then I would take the sauces to the guys in the morning and I'd be like, oh, I made a sauce. Try it. And they'd like, I remember Darren and Brad and them trying it and going, these are really good and you really need to start selling them. And I was like, don't be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because it was much more of a gift, a love gift that I can make money from this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then I obviously left 947 and I was out work for nearly a year and a half, nearly 2 years. And as a single mom of 2 kids.
That's hard.
The house with 4 dogs, with my beautiful helper, her 2 kids, to be without work, no income. So I was literally, I had friends who were, you know, thank goodness for my ex-husband, who is a fantastic father and a great friend of mine, who was literally putting money in for electricity and water and dog food. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And then I thought to myself, like I had a bit of a light bulb moment and something said in my head, you know what, Phil? Why don't you make these sauces that everybody says were so good you could sell them, find a market, take them to the market and see. And so there was a Christmas market quite close to me here at Silver Star Casino. And a friend of mine said, listen, I'll pay for our stall. Don't worry. You just make the sauces and we will kind of do this together. And I'll never forget the first day going to the market. And I think I'd made about 10 of each sauce. And I was unbelievably nervous. I literally hid my sauces underneath the Christmas tree because I'm sure you'll agree with me. Food.
Yeah.
It's so personal. You cannot buy the feeling that food made with love gives to you. Yeah. It doesn't matter what the meal costs. If it's not made with love, you can taste it and it's not good. Yeah. So the idea that people might say to me, you know, actually, I don't like this and I don't want this. I knew I was going to take this personally, but I needed to put on my big girl pants because somebody might not like my food. You know what I mean? That's just the way it is. And so my friend was kind of going out to people and saying, you know, oh, you should come and try the sauces. And I was like, no, don't tell them to come and try my sauces. Don't do that. Yeah, just stop that. And, you know, people came over and I went, okay, just suck it up. And I went, you know, I'm not a very soft person, but I was exceptionally shy that day. I was like, hi. Okay. So these are my sauces. And if you like, you can try them. And, you know, here we go. This person tried the sauce and went, I like that. Oh, one tried the other one. Went, oh, I like that. I'll take one of each. And I went,
okay.
What? I was convinced he was talking to somebody else. And he was like, I'll take one of each. And so I was completely gobsmacked. And I sold out on day one. I sold out all my sauces on day one. And it's kind of the encouragement that I needed to kind of really launch my business. It took me a bit of while to time still to launch it. But having repeat customers now, having people send me the most amazing feedback, having people tell me I use it on everything, it's just, and you know, my sauces aren't there as a condiment. So it's not a tomato sauce. Like for me, people forget that tomato sauce, yes, you can put it on your hot dogs or your chips, but you can also put it into your spaghetti bolognese. Mm. Yeah. You can also use it and make a pink sauce. You can use condiments to make other things.
Yes.
And that's exactly the purpose of my sauces is, you know, I make a delicious kind of garlic tum.
Yes.
It's a very anxious, thick, delicious, very pungent garlic cream, basically. And over a roast chicken, over a roast vegetable, mixed with a mayonnaise, so it's a garlic aioli. It's delicious. But that's the purpose of my sauces, is to give you this kind of wonderful base that you can, yes, either eat with a spoon if you want to, or when you're making food for 7-8 people, you can go, I don't want to stand here chopping garlic. Or okay. I don't want to chop all these fresh herbs. Oh, hold on. I've got a bottle of full saucy sauce. I can just chuck that in there.
Yeah.
That's the whole idea because, you know, I understand as well as women, and I don't, it's not just women who cook, obviously, but as
the majority.
Mm. But as human beings, often we lead very busy lives. Mm. And sometimes you want to come home and you want to eat something really good, but you don't have the time.
Yes.
You just don't have the time and you're kind of going, but I want to have that feeling because it's that feeling of good food after a long day is, like I said, you know, it's priceless.
Yeah. So this is the recipes that I do is like 30 minutes or less, because there are days where I come home at 6 at night and I still have to put food on the table. It better be ready in 30 minutes or we're not eating anything. You know, you're having cereal. But so that for me is one of the things that I, you know, had to learn to deal with. And like I got a gift from somebody the other day. It was a squeezy garlic. Like,
okay.
So you've got to be careful, because as much as I like garlic, if you use too much, you're going to knock everybody out. And it's a good thing we wear masks so nobody can smell it. Because I made, 2 weeks ago, I spoke on my show. It's called a solmero, I think it is. It's a Spanish tomato soup with a lot of garlic and sherry and stuff like that. And literally no cooking. And it was the most amazing soup. And it's made with, and I look at budgeting. So I took, instead of they asked for olive oil, I just used ordinary oil.
Hmm.
You know, just to change it down to a little bit more of an acceptable cost.
Accessible, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was already expensive because it wanted almond, you know, blanched almonds and, you know.
Okay.
So that already like ups the price. So now you want to just even it out a little. And that was one of the things that I love about food and experimenting is looking at ways to take something plain and boring and make it so the family sits down and goes, hang on, this is pretty good. You know.
Yeah.
So that kind of thing.
You know, the one thing I've also realized that we're very silly with, I think that South Africans are very silly with. So I have a very serious spice addiction. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to go to whatever kind of, meetings are held for people who cannot stop buying spices, because I have.
I wonder if my daughter's listening.
Yeah, and I've traveled overseas, and I have put stuff in other people's suitcases so I can put spices in mine. Because I literally can't resist. I bought black lime in the UK, and I bought Hand of Mary and saffron and all things from Dubai, and I can't resist.
Yes.
But the one thing that I realized is the most underutilized but so anxious and versatile are beans, legumes.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We have it all the time.
You can have it all the time. And people tend to go, okay, cool, I'll buy 10 beans. And I'm like, no, buy them dry.
And so.
Firstly, they are so much cheaper for the quantity that you get. Mm. And if you're on your way to bed, just soak them the night before.
Well, that's it.
You know what I mean? This is not hard work. It's not rocket science either. You're on your way to bed. Remember to put your cup of beans or your two cups of beans in with the water, fill them up, let them soak. Next morning, you know, quickly. So I like to boil them up as well in a kind of a stock. So I'll put in bay leaves and onions and garlic cloves and carrots and I'll boil them up in that depending on what I'm making. And then I'll kind of let them come out the water. Let them be dry, and then I'll use that base. So then I'll go, okay, I flavored my bean. Now, am I going kind of Spanish? Am I going Moroccan? Am I going Indian? Am I going, do you know what I mean? I will then play from there. But then I've also got this base of legumes now that I can also then just put in the fridge, mix with some couscous, some chopped up beautiful veg, and have like a Mediterranean salad. Done.
So I did that the other day, black beans with a salsa and pita bread.
Yeah. I make it for my girls because my one daughter is vegetarian. Oh, so, and she loves black beans.
Yes. Black bean burgers?
So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. The black bean burgers, the first time I served it, my meat eater didn't actually know it was meat, wasn't meat.
Look at that. Look at that. There's nothing about cuman coriander can't, this is the thing that people go, well, where's the meat? I'm like, well, that is the cuman coriander that you're tasting in there. That's the flavor of meat is actually basically cumin and coriander.
So you were talking spices. My daughter has banned me from buying any more spices. That's why I was wondering if she was listening. I'm not allowed to buy any more spices. She says, I have more than enough.
You know, your daughter and my daughter must never meet, because very often my kids will tell me, you don't need any more. And I'll be like, but I do.
But I'm going to use it.
Yeah, I'm very sure we've run out of this. No, Mom, we really haven't. But I'm absolutely positive that we have run. I have got so, I mean, I look in my, and so there's sometimes they have a food and wine show, obviously pre-COVID. They had a food and wine show at Northgate.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a stall there. I forgot what they were called, but they had these. So also I'm a bit in love with presentation. So if something looks cute, I'm like, I must have it. I must have this in my house. So they had what looks like test tubes, but in a wooden box. And every test tube had so there was pearl salt from Austria. There was, pink Himalayan salt. There was all sorts of different salts. And then they had dried, tomato and dried onion and dried, but beautifully presented with these cork stoppers. And of course I was like, I'll take that. Thank you very much. That's wonderful. But for me, you can never, I have black salt, I have blue salt,
I have
smoked salt, I have coarse salt, I have kosher salt, I have an air, because as I'm sure you know, every salt is different.
And they have different
people go, no, they're not. And you're like,
all the salts are different flavors, different uses. I mean, I've got the blue salt. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. And then I made myself an orange one. You just grate some orange zest into some, and I put it into a bottle. I've got orange flavored salt, you know.
I love it.
Or lemon salt or
exactly. I mean, fleur de sel must go over the food when you're finished cooking.
Yes.
Your rock salt must go in the beginning when you are cooking, so it releases slowly.
Yes.
People don't understand as well, you know, how salt reacts at different stages of cooking.
That's why the chefs always say, you've got to continually taste while you cook and adjust, because the salt changes all the time. You know, your flavoring's going to change all the time. The need is going to change all the time.
Yeah.
So that's a huge thing for me. So My thing is, we've spoken about cooking food, love of legumes. I mean, I use a lot. I've just bought for my son because he's traveling up to Messina. I know they've got shops there, but I'm a Jewish mother. So I've bought him tins of chickpeas. My son can happily open a can and eat them.
Yeah.
You know.
Yum.
Quite happily. So like I've bought him all the stuff because he's going up there for work. And it just, when I look at it in my cupboard, when we were really, really at one stage struggling quite badly, I learned to stretch my mince meat by putting kidney beans, the sugar beans in.
Yeah.
Like it goes from 300 grams to nearly a kilo's worth of meat.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty satisfied because beans have kept you full for longer, which means being a teenage boy gets a little easier.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
At that stage, yeah.
It's important to teach your kids these things though as well. So yeah. My youngest is the cook in the family and I will state categorically that my youngest is an incredible cook. At 15, she is just her sense of taste, her sense of balance, her eye, it is incredible. And will I take credit for it? Yes and no. I will take credit in the sense that I've allowed my kids into the kitchen from a very young age.
Yeah.
And I've always been very much a case of, you know, here is a knife and cut this thing. If you cut your finger, we'll put a plaster on it.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. Put the stove on. Is it too hot? Is your oil smoking? I mean, my child has got burns on her leg the other day from having to add oil too hot. I said, well, now you've learned your lesson. Don't have your oil so hot. This is the way that you learn.
Yeah.
But my daughter also knows because of the way that I cook that, you know, she'll make a lasagna and she will put in veggies because also that's how we stretch our meat.
Yes.
You know, and also because it's a great way to get vegetables in. So
that's okay.
It's important to give your kids these skills though as well. You want them to, you know, a friend of mine said something very beautiful to me the other day. He said to me, you know, you want to give your kids roots, but you also want to give them wings.
Yes.
So I want to root them and knowing that this is their home, will always be their home. I will always be here for them. But I want you to take that and I want you to fly.
Yeah, well, this is it. I'm getting ready now for one of mine to leave. And you know, it's time, but I don't want him to go. So, you know, it is obviously we all have to decide where it is. And I know he can cook because as long as it's meat, he'll cook it. he's not going to starve. So that's going to be a big thing. The thing that, and then my daughter's boyfriend is, well, he begins, chef school next year. And I mean, I love having him in the kitchen because I love how his passion for food comes out. And I know that doesn't matter how obscure the ingredient I've got in my cupboard is, he's going to find a way to use it in something. He's going to look for something to make with it and that, you know, the other day he said to me, I'm very disappointed there was a spice that you don't have. I go, no, it's in a different color bottle. That's why you didn't find it. He goes, oh, I apologize. You know, that's the thing. It's, you know, and people often like, I mean, my whole thing is being organized, planning, knowing what's in your pantry. And because of that, the knowing what's in the pantry and what's in the cupboard, I've been able to stop buying as many spices as I used to. I still do have a couple of things that have got like 3 bottles of mint for some reason and 2 or 3 boxes of mixed herbs. but that's been my huge thing. We're going to take a break and then when we come back, we're going to continue cooking. We're going to talk, in fact, about utensils. So you're listening to Adrian Bugatti. I have Felicity Reakin on the show with me. And this is Hi FM, SM Fresh and Show. Back after the break.
Chalashing for chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? Stay tuned to Hi FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bugatti for SM Fresh and Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m. where it's all about the food.
Back. It's Adrian and Felicity. You're listening to the Hi FM Essen Fresen show. And we've been talking about making food, our love of food and passing that on to children. And now I want to know favorite kitchen gadgets and wish list gadgets. So what's your favorite kitchen appliance?
Oh, Adrian, I don't know why you've opened up this can of worms. my favorite kitchen appliance. Look, I do have a Thermomix.
I love my Thermomix.
Funnily enough, I don't actually use my Thermomix necessarily for cooking, so to speak. I still chop onions by hand. So I've got a beautiful German knife. So I use that for chopping. I like to feel it in my hands. But then I've got a thing for paring knives. So I'm always on the look for the perfect paring knife. Yes. So my hands are quite small. So even though I've got a proper, like, big German knife.
It's hard to hold those things.
Yeah. So I'm always on the look for a good paring knife. I love my wooden chopping boards. I have many. What don't I love? I mean, I've got a food processor. Yes. And a mixer and an ice cream maker. Yes. And a slow cooker. Yes. And, like I said, my Thermomix. And I've got a juicer and an icer and a extractor. And of course a coffee grinder for the spices.
Absolutely.
I have many, many measuring spoons of all different shapes and colors and materials. My wooden spoons are vital in my house. I love a good wooden spoon. I love a good silicone spatula, but a proper kind of kitchen grade spatula. There's a shop down the road from my house, which is basically like, it's just a kitchen shop. So they've got, it's so wonderful. They've got plates and mugs and cutlery and sieves and measuring things and things for things and potato mashers and just, and every time I go in there, I always go in with, I want this one thing. It's always my thing. I'm just going to pop in here quickly and see if they've got a thing. And if I tell you that every time I've stopped somewhere at that shop and my girls are with me and I go, I swear they go, because I'm like, look at these. I've got enough knives and forks for a family of 104. But I will see knives and forks and I'll be like, oh, I must have.
Yes. Yes. So we're along the same lines.
Yeah. My pasta maker, roll-out thingy. I'm just, you know, and then often I'm like, I realize I'm not using the things as often as I probably should. But then I also think to myself, if I don't have it, what will happen?
It'll be a disaster. I'll need it and I don't have it here. You know, I bought myself one of those, it looks like a vegetable peeler, but it's julienne's stuff.
Yes, I love that. Yes, I love that thing. Yes.
My favorite. Yes. That's my favorite small one besides the knives. Obviously knives are a big thing. And thankfully my son's favorite hobby is sharpening the knives. So my knives are beautiful, sharp, loves it. So yeah.
Okay. I'll be sending you a whole box. Thanks.
Okay. So he stands there with the steel and does it for me. So that I love. My pressure cooker. And my Thermomix and my slow cooker. I got two of those. Yes. because I use the slow cookers all the time. Yeah. They're just amazing for soups, for stews, for curries, whatever. I've got the electric frying pan. My next thing on my list is, the air fryer. I haven't got there yet.
Me too. That's exactly what I want as well. I'm like, and I keep on thinking, there's only three of us. I don't really need to get the big one, but I'm like, I really want to get the big one.
Yeah, like, you know what? You never know. Maybe I want to have visitors. I might need the big one.
Thank you. Well, I might want to make something like really large, like a whole leg of lamb or something.
There you go.
Then the small one won't fit. And then what will happen?
So we had a laugh the other night. We decided, I don't normally do it. We don't normally do fish. My family are not big fish eaters. And the cost of fish is ridiculous. And I decided we decided to make beer battered fish.
Oh, yum.
So I was debating on the stove or in the deep fryer. My daughter's boyfriend says to me, you've got a deep fryer. I go, yes, you've just got to climb up in the back of the cupboard in a packet. And he brought it down and one of my kids comes into the kitchen and says, when did you get that? I'm like, yeah. Actually, this is older than you.
Yeah, I've got a deep fryer. I bought the deep fryer because I wanted to make, I think, something ridiculous. I think I was craving proper slap chips at one point in time. Yes. I know you can make them on hot in the stove. I know that.
Deep fryer, much more fun.
But I was like, I really just want a deep fryer because, oh no, do you know what I wanted to make? I know what it was. I wanted to make fried chicken.
Okay.
And so I'd soaked the chicken the night before in the yogurt and the mix. So it got all nice and soft. And I was like, I really just want to deep fry this chicken. And so I got in my car and I went to the shops and I went and bought a deep fryer. And I made the chicken and the chicken was delicious. And I think that's the last time I used my deep fryer.
Well,
because I was like,
all that oil?
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, it's a whole lot of oil.
Yeah.
That seems like a lot of money. I've made the chicken. I fulfilled my needs. So now I know though, you know, if I want to, I can make a fed cook or one of my favorite things in the whole world. So I love aubergines.
Oh yeah, me too.
I'm not fans at all.
No.
But my favorite
but thing. Them.
Yo, yum. Oh.
Best.
Oh.
Better some than of them deep fried.
Delicious.
Absolutely, absolutely. Better deep fried, stunning vegetarian dish because you can make, then you make like an aubergine eggplant parmesan.
Yes. Nom, nom, nom.
So that's my thing. I get told that I've got way too many kitchen gadgets.
Okay. So the air fryer is next. Do you have anything else that you must have?
I found a potato ricer that I want to get.
Yes.
I found one. I've been looking for ages. I would love, so I don't like the wooden boards. I'm a bit of a germaphobe thing. I like the silicone boards, those special hard plastic.
Okay.
Not real plastic. So my dream would be those ones that have the tags on, the color coded ones. You can find them. You'll see them at your kitchen shop. They color coded with fish and meat and vegetables and everything. That would be, love that. I think the only wooden cutting board I've got is my meat carving board.
See, I only use my wooden cutting board for veggies. I never chop my meat on a wooden. So I've got a glass chopping board, which is completely pointless.
Yes.
But for my meat, because obviously the juices and stuff, I don't want that soaking into my wood.
Yeah.
But my vegetables and any of that kind of stuff, that's my wooden chopping boards that I use that for.
So I've got a marble chopping board that's sitting gathering dust.
A marble.
Blunts your knives. And that's why I stopped using it because it's beautiful. So now I would use it more for display than for anything else.
Okay.
I actually got them as a wedding gift. It was the cutting board. It was a cheese slicer and a mortar and pestle.
I love a mortar and pestle. I've got a Thermomix and still, yet.
Mortar and pestle still.
I've got three mortar and pestles and I'm like, there's something also very, therapeutic about just standing there grinding things that need to be ground. You're kind of like, I'm zoning out. I'm not thinking about anything but getting this into the right kind of consistency. I love it.
Definitely. I had three. My husband took one to work because he needed one. He's a pharmacist. So he took mine to work to mix, you know, to do mixtures. I'm like, thanks. Kitchen gadget. Anyway, Felicity, I could continue talking to you for another hour at least. But this is the end of the show. In fact, I'm sure we ran over. It's been absolutely marvelous having you. I want you back. So you've been listening to Adrian Bugatti from Cushering Your Life. I've been talking to my guest, Felicity Reakin, TV shows, radio presenter, and all-round cook. And thank you for listening to the Essence Fresh and Show on Chai FM, and thank you, Felicity, for being on my show.
Adrian, thank you so much. It was wonderful. We really must do this again, and then we'll just talk more about food.